worship in the light of the Lord.
Yeah.
The cross is lit.
It is.
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Yeah, right.
I know.
When I was in grade school, kids used to call me fatty. And I'll tell you, words hurt. Now at age 68, when people call me fatty, I just say, I love tacos. But sometimes words do hurt more than sticks and stones. Our words can get us into trouble. You'll be surprised to know that on more than one occasion, my mom washed my mouth out with soap. And if it was handy, lava soap. Took forever to get that grit off my tongue. Here's one more saying. You kiss your mother with that mouth?
Yeah.
And it's used when someone says something really vulgar or profane. It basically means your mom would be ashamed of you if she heard you talking like that. Well, in today's message that I've titled, The Mouth, Jesus is teaching us about inner purity, which starts in our heart and comes out of our mouth. So, as most of you know, but those that are visitors don't know, we started well over a year and a half ago, starting in the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1. And each Sunday, we just take the next group of verses, the next group of verses. Today, we're actually starting on chapter 15 with the first verse. So today is going to be the first 20 verses of chapter 15, but I'm just taking a few verses at a time. Some Pharisees and teachers of religious law arrived from Jerusalem to see Jesus. They asked him, "Why do your disciples disobey our age-old tradition? For they ignore the tradition of ceremonial hand-washing before they eat." As part of my bathroom decor at the parsonage, Jan hung a framed message on the wall that says this, "Wash your hands and say your prayers, because Jesus and germs are everywhere." And I guess that's pretty good advice to keep me physically and spiritually healthy. Well, apparently Jesus' disciples had already started eating their Chick-fil-A sandwiches without first washing their hands. And these religious leaders were not washing their hands for reasons of good hygiene. It was only ceremonial. It was all for show. They could have come right out of the shower to the meal, and their tradition was still to wash their hands. I doubt that there was even a bar of lava soap next to the bowl. Let's go on to verse 3. Jesus replied to those Pharisees and teachers of religious law. He says this, "And why do you," he's pointing a finger, "by your traditions violate the direct commandments of God?" Now, you know me, I look at the Bible a little differently than some people, and so I picture Jesus standing up to those religious folks, pointing his finger and saying, "Booyah! Gotcha!" You see, Jesus was pretty quick to point out the fact that these religious leaders followed some traditions and not others. They followed the traditions that were showy, like hand washing, but the commandments of God were being violated every day. And then Jesus gives an example in the next verse. He says, "For instance, God says," and he's quoting now, "honor your father and mother." And then he has another quote from God. He says, "Anyone who speaks disrespectfully of father and mother must be put to death." If that tradition of putting to death kids who disrespected their parents was in place today, there would be a lot fewer kids in school. And maybe not as many of us here today. Well, Jesus continues in verse 5. "But you say it is all right for people to say to their parents, quote, 'Sorry, I can't help you, for I have vowed to give to God what I would have given to you.' In this way, you say, that they don't need to honor their parents. And so you cancel the word of God for your own sake, for your own traditions. These Pharisees and teachers of religious law were so heavenly minded, they were no earthly good. We all know people like this? Yeah. Unfortunately, I've been like that in my past. Hopefully not today. Yeah. Well, a friend of mine had told me the story about his Christian sister who would not go to see her parent that was dying in the hospital because she would have to miss evening church service. And I thought, wow. You know, Jesus didn't go around calling people names lightly. But he had a name for these religious people that acted this way, and he called them the H word, hypocrites. Verse 7, actually, he starts off. Jesus says, "You hypocrites." Isaiah, the Old Testament prophet, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. For he wrote, quote, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship is a farce, for they teach man-made ideas as commands from God," unquote. Here's our first lesson. Don't let a church or a pastor make up rules for you to follow that are not from God. I can only imagine the number of people who will not walk into a church today because of this issue. If these lip service people would only realize the damage that they've caused other people, their man-made rules could result in severe, negative, and eternal consequences of those they have hurt. And if this applies to you, being a person who's been hurt by the church, or by a pastor, or by a Christian, please know that Jesus hates this as much as you do. But I also need to remind you of something. And maybe remind isn't strong enough. Maybe I need to warn everyone about something. That will not be an excuse when we stand before God and he doesn't let you in the pearly gates because you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior. We're not going to be able to say, someone did this and treated me that way in church. And they said they were a Christian. He said he was a pastor. That's not going to fly. You know, here's an example. I bet if you ever had a bad steak at Applebee's, you didn't stop eating steak or stop going to Applebee's. You may have stopped going to that Applebee's. For those who've had a bad experience with an unbiblical church, don't stop going to church. Just try another church.
Yes.
Find one that's a Bible-based church. So my message is that you put that behind you and give God another try. God is not the problem.
That's it.
Remember, our Creator is the one who made Adam and Eve, or Adam from dust, and then he made Eve out of the man's riblets, long before Applebee's had those on the menu. You remember that story in Genesis, don't you? So, there it is. There it is. That's the main lesson from today's scriptures. We are defiled by the words that come out of our mouth. Jesus is talking to the crowd, even though he knew the Pharisees and religious leaders were overhearing everything he was saying. Verse 12. Then the disciples come to him and ask, "Do you realize you offended the Pharisees by what you just said? By speaking the truth, Jesus made his disciples nervous. They were afraid that the religious people might be offended by what he said regarding the words coming out of their mouth. So, there's another lesson for us. While we should never set out to offend people by just repeating the truth of the scriptures, it may cause some people to be offended. In the next verse, we see how Jesus replied to his disciples question about offending the teachers of religious law in verse 13 and 14. Jesus replied, quote, every plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be uprooted. So ignore them. They are blind guides leading the blind. And if one blind person leads another, they will both fall into a ditch. The blind leading the blind, yet another quote that we say all the time, comes directly from the Bible. Verse 15. Then Peter said to Jesus, explain to us the parable that says people aren't defiled by what they eat. For generations, the Jewish people were very strict about the rules of what they did and did not eat. And while those instructions for God were appropriate at one time, Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection will eventually change all that. And Jesus makes this very blunt and very crude statement next. It's recorded in the Bible. I've got to read it. Verse 16 and 17. Jesus says, don't you understand yet? Anything you eat passes through the stomach and then goes into the sewer. Anything you eat goes to the stomach and goes into the sewer. Maybe that's where the phrase potty mouth came from. I'm not sure. But Jesus gets a bit graphic in describing the process of bodily digestion and waste management here. This sounds more like something the great theologian Homer Simpson might say. But then Jesus continues on by telling Peter, the disciples, and the crowd, and the Pharisees, where the words we say originate. And spoiler alert, it's not from the brain. Verses 18 through 20, this is wrapping up our verses for today. But the words you speak come from the heart. That's what defiles you. For from the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, all sexual immorality, theft, lying, and slander. These are what defile you. Eating with unwashed hands will never defile you. Jesus is saying that the tradition of ceremonial hand washing will not clean your heart. Now that was quite a list that Matthew brought up for us of the things from the heart that come out of our mouth. And if you're a list person, here's what the Apostle Mark recorded in his writings. And it's almost twice as long. It kind of makes sense that they're not exactly the same. I imagine Jesus taught this message several times and probably in several places. Matthew may have heard it in one place. Mark heard it in another. Or Mark may have been a better listener, taken better notes. Here's his list. It comes from Mark chapter 7. Verses 21 to 23. For from within, out of a person's heart, come, some of these are sayings, some are added, evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, wickedness, deceit, lustful desires, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these vile things, Mark says, come from within. They are what defile you. Jesus is telling us that it's not the traditions like ceremonial hand washing before eating that is the problem. The problem is the heart. That's the problem. So what's the solution? Seems like the solution is a new heart. A changed heart. But you and I can only do so much to fix our damaged heart on our own. We need professional help, don't we? We need to go back to the manufacturer, to the one who created the heart. We need Jesus. And if you will give your heart to Jesus, he will change it. Actually, according to the Old Testament prophet Ezekiel, he'll replace it. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26 says, "And I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit in you. I will take out your stony, stubborn heart and give you a tender, responsive heart." Wow. So let me conclude with these final thoughts. Jesus is offering something that's like a spiritual heart transplant. Now, we know that to get a human heart transplant, someone has to die. And then that person becomes a donor. Do you know that Jesus died for everyone, including you? He died to pay your sin debt and mine. And he was in the grave for 3 days. His death allows you and me to receive a new heart from the most perfect donor. Yet the most awesome thing that happened to Jesus is that he was resurrected back to life. He walked around. He talked to people. He ate with his disciples for over a month. And then he ascended into heaven to be with his Father. The donor of our new spiritual heart is alive. And unlike a human heart, Jesus is able to donate to anyone who is on the spiritual transplant list, which is everyone. But he will not force anyone to have surgery. It's a choice. God has given us free will since the very beginning. Let me finish with this very last thought. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is described as a person gently knocking on the door of your heart. He's patiently waiting for you to open it and invite him in. Many of you have already done that. I hope the rest of you will be moved to reach out for that door handle today. Amen.